Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody. It's Rodney with Video Games Now on the podcast version of us. It's me, Rodney, and Will.
I'm back.
You're back. I said my name twice like a fucking amateur. We're going to talk about five games that you didn't know were in development. Or at least most people don't, because this video doesn't have very many views. So, we're going to chat about those and maybe a couple other things. Oh, yeah. Last podcast, we said that Mark was going to join us. Didn't we, Will?
Yeah, that did not plan out. We're still trying.
When was the last time Mark ever fulfilled a promise to come onto the podcast?
Last year?
That one time. All right. You know what, dude? I've had one Mike's Hard Lemonade, and I had to climb the stairs, and holy shit, I'm out of breath. Like, it's incredible how much one drink can just take you right out of the game.
Lightweight.
How the fuck am I in a beer league right now? So why don't we get started. Five games you didn't know about in development coming up right now. We've been playing some games lately, Will. Let's just chat about what we've been playing recently. So we'll start with you.
All right. So I've been switching between two games to keep myself still playing. I'm still working on Sleeping Dogs, but I got back into Assassin's Creed because of Rodney here. So I bought the season pass. I'm just starting the expansions now. But I did beat the game and got all the cultists and got the good ending. So I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, it makes you feel really good. Like, it's not one of those games that makes you crave more. You're kind of willing to dive into the DLC, but if you just do the ending itself, then that's good enough.
Yeah, it was a great game. I'm still, like I said, I'm looking forward to the next Assassin's Creed. It can only go up from here, I'm hoping.
Yeah, totally. I put down Assassin's Creed. The DLC didn't grab me. I mean, I spent $50 on it, but...
And then, like, a week later, it went on sale for $20.
Yeah, fuckers. I'm playing Shadow of War, like I've been talking about for the last few weeks. Finally went back. I started a new game, which I noticed on my old game. I don't fucking remember any of this, but apparently I played 160 hours on my previous game, and I was 77% complete.
Ooh, you played a shit ton.
Yeah, apparently I played a shit ton. Don't remember playing that much, but yeah, apparently I did. So yeah, I started a new game, and Christ, that game's fucking hard at the beginning when you have no skills.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, because you
and
start...
then once you start like picking things up, you're like, okay, this is getting better.
Yeah, well, you start at level 1, and everything else starts at level fucking 12. You're like, cool.
Yeah.
So
I think right at the beginning of the game, I played more stealthily than anything. Like, I tried to stay out of, like, full-on confrontations.
Yeah, I know, but you can't do that with the captains. You, like, go and do a stealth attack and away, like...
But you can still kind of, like, kind of run away for a little bit, get their attention off you. Because, like, sometimes when you're fighting the captain, you'll get, like, 7 or 8 adds on you, too, right?
Yeah. So, oh, fuck.
Pick your fights.
Yeah, so for those who haven't played Shadow of War, there's a... it's a hack and slash RPG, and Christ, it's fucking hard. Like, and there's a nemesis system, so there's orcs that remember you. So if you kill an orc and then he gets resurrected somehow, even though I cleaved him in half, he's like, "Oh, you thought you got rid of me, did ya?" And then yeah, he does the whole thing. And then same thing with if an orc kills you, they get promoted to captain, and then you go and try to kill them again to, just to get revenge, and then they'll be like, "Oh, this time I'll make sure you're dead." That was a pretty good impression. Yeah, I fought an orc yesterday, so you have to find out their weaknesses. You know their strengths just by checking out the intel or whatever, but you have to find worms and interrogate them to find out captain's weaknesses. This one guy, dude, had, like, no weaknesses. It was like he's vulnerable to, I think it was stealth. So once you're in active combat, you're kind of fucked because he's arrow-proof, he's immune to executions, and he's vault-breaker. So that's, like, all my fucking back pocket shit that I use, and I'm like, this guy's some bullshit. And as soon as you get overwhelmed, you fucking die because you can't dodge fast enough. Yeah, so it's just frustrating.
So has he been promoted to, like, a general?
Well, at this point he should be, yeah. But, no, I finally dominated him, and then it's like, Iron Will, I'm like, get fucked. Like, Iron Will, so you can dominate orcs and get them to join your army, but if they have the Iron Will attribute, then they can't be recruited. So it's like, yeah, he has the three things that I can't, that are the worst matchup against me, and then he also had Iron Will. I was just like, fuck off, game, that's so unfair.
I remember, I can't remember his name, I think it was like Calabar or something. He was one of the random, like, captains that was generated for my playthrough.
Yeah.
And I killed this fucker, like, 7 times. But he just kept coming back. Like, it was to the point that I'm like, just fucking die. Like, I beheaded him, like, 3 times. I don't even know how. Like, he came back, and I'm like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. Like, there's stitches on his neck. I'm like, no, come on.
Yeah, the first playthrough I did, so you can take fortresses in this game, and then you have to appoint overlords and war chiefs and all that shit. But anyways, this guy, I killed him the first time, like just a standard kill, and then he came back, and then I burned him the second time, so he died from burning. And then the third time he came back, I'm like, good Christ, can you die? And then I cleaved him in half. And so a fourth time he comes back, he's got metal, like, casting all over his face because I burned him to death the one time. And then he's got his body, like, sewed back together. I'm like, what the fuck? And then, anyway, so I dominated him and took him and added him to my army and ended up making him my overlord. I'm like, if you can come back that many times from that many fucking things, then you deserve to be an overlord.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the game's a lot of fun. I put about 20 hours in, and I'm 40% through the game already. I've been just... Ooh.
You're killing it.
Yeah, just super quick here. All right, well, I guess that's enough about us. No one actually listens to this podcast for us, Will. We're just the fucking messenger here.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, ever since Mark left the podcast, our ratings have gone down.
I think they went up.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to be nice. Anyway, so...
like he listens.
Yeah, I know.
Or so, he would have already, like, come at us for all the shit we say about him.
He would have phoned us and been like, bro, what the fuck?
There would probably be a couple more bros just in that, like, what the fuck? Like, bro, what the... Come on, bro. That's like, bro.
I don't think he would have said more bros. He would have just drawn out the one bro. Like, bro. All right. 5 games you've never heard of. Or maybe you have, but they're in development. So let's talk about the first one. The first one is was a little surprising to even you, Will, who's the newsmaster. And
I must have missed this one.
Yeah, so The Witcher 4 is in development, and I guess they announced this a little recently, I believe.
Yeah, about, 2 weeks.
Yeah,
almost 2 weeks.
August 30th, I think. So So yeah, Witcher 4 is in development, so that's exciting. Will has been playing the third one.
Yeah, I'm close to beating that. I'm kind of like all over the place right now.
Yeah. So I have not played the Witcher series. Honestly, I just didn't know what it was, and I didn't look into it, and now that I'm watching gameplay trailers, I'm actually super interested in playing it.
You're lucky I own it for both Xbox and PS4.
Yeah.
I'll just let you borrow the Xbox copy.
Yeah, and I'm going to open the case and the PS4 version is going to be in there.
No, I got the PS4 on download, so that won't happen.
Okay. So, there will be a Witcher 4. We have an article here on GamesRadar, who's still a trusted source of game news, right?
It's been on a couple other things, too, so...
Yeah. So it's probably a few years... booze I'm having is kicking in. I can't even talk now. It's probably a few years away from being able to play The Witcher 4, but it sounds like CD Projekt Red will be making it the next big thing for the Polish studio, or the Polish studio, rather. After Cyberpunk 2077, of course, that's what the team is suggesting anyway, via their official forum moderator, Donata... Holy shit.
Forum monitor.
Some Polish woman.
Donata Poplowski. Leploska.
Yeah, that name is next level. Like, I can say Japanese name is easier than I can say that lady's name. So, she's...
Yeah.
She's confirmed that as far as the strategy of CD Project Capital Group for 2016 to 2021 is concerned, its plan is to release the second AAA game by 2021. It remains so we're currently focusing on the production and promotion of Cyberpunk 2077, so we do not want to comment any further on any further projects. And then there's an entire page of things that are about Witcher 4, so I think she was fucking lying.
Well, there's a bit more like here. What is it here?
Yeah, I mean, 2020.
Oh, that was the interview with her, I guess, in 2016. And then if you scroll down, then you're talking now to CD Projekt Red CEO Adam. Oh God, no.
Adam who?
Kiss. Is that would that C be silent?
K I C I N with a squiggly and ski. Kinsinski. Oh, that was pretty good, dude. All right, okay, yeah. This whole podcast is going to be butchering Polish names.
Oh, man. It's going to be bad.
Yeah. We need Cole here to help us out.
Yeah. CD yeah. Projekt Red CEO Adam. See, Adam's easy to say. Sosinski has already basically confirmed that they are working, or there will be another Witcher game. It just won't be called Witcher 4. So it's looking likely the next game is, but a few years away. Now, after Witcher 3, we all know CD Projekt Red kind of blew up. They made a lot of money.
Yeah.
So instead of them being now just a small or medium-sized studio, they can actually do more than one game at a time. So this does make sense.
Yeah, so they're kind of splitting up their resources now.
Yeah, just like every other big studio that is working on more than one game at the same time. Now, with Cyberpunk... what do we think? April, so for almost 8 months away, they could definitely be thinning up the group now, where some people are working on like getting the final version of Cyberpunk ready, while the next people are already starting to work on a new game.
Yeah, I imagine they're at least alpha stage at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. CD Projekt Red created a glorious, huge, and utterly explorable fantasy world that told tales of players we'll be talking about for years to come, including the talk of unicorn sex. Yes.
You gotta play the game to understand that.
Yeah, apparently, yeah. Maybe I will to see some unicorn sex. It took the Witcher series to the height of success and has never seen before, before its scarred, white-haired hero, how do you say it?
Geralt.
Is a bit of a star. Heck, he's even getting a Witcher Netflix series. Oh, yeah, that's a thing. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's coming out with, why am I going to forget his name already? The Superman.
Yeah, him. Yeah, okay. The Superman dude. The guy that...
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
I'm just trying to bring that up so I don't look like an idiot.
Okay, good call. Alright, so... Actually, I'm quite interested to see how they do that Witcher Netflix series.
It looks great. I've seen the trailer, and I'm very impressed with it.
Yeah. Alright, so we all love the
Henry
way...
Cavill.
What's his name?
Henry Cavill.
Henry Cavill. Copy that. So we all love the way CD Projekt Red deals with DLC as well. For Witcher 3, one of the best RPG games of all time, gave us 16 free download content packages with 10-hour expansions. Jesus, really?
Yeah, well, the expansions you had to pay for, but they gave you 16 free download like packs. So
there's another 160 hours of gameplay?
Oh, around that, yeah. Like, it's a big game, dude.
Shit. So when you say, I'm almost done Witcher 3, that's kind of an accomplishment.
Yeah. Shit. I'm probably like 20 hours away.
Right. Okay, I get this really odd feeling with DLC. Okay, so I'm going to use Assassin's Creed as an example. So we just completed Assassin's Creed, the main game. And I had this very excellent sense of accomplishment. And you know what, actually? I feel this way about sequel movies like The Incredibles 2. I'll get to that in a second. But anyways, so then you start the DLC, and it just doesn't feel right. It's like, when you're playing the main game, you're part of this grand adventure. And when you play the DLC, it's like an added-on, like, non-essential fucking task. I hope that makes sense. And
yeah,
it doesn't...
but like, how far in the DLC are you?
Well, no, I don't mean just for Assassin's Creed. I mean for all DLC and even like sequels to movies. It's like the main of it, like the first movie that came out is like amazing, and then the second movie that comes out is like kind of almost half-assed in the way, like in terms of the story, and it's just like, because it doesn't have that great storytelling element in it, where it's a character, like a character developing into something more, and then the second movie starts out with them already being this more character, so it's like, how much farther can they go?
I do agree, but like, if we're saying like The Witcher, they've come from CD Projekt Red being like a no-name studio pretty much. Mm-hmm. Like the original Witcher 1, when that came out in 2007, it was only released on PC.
Right, okay.
So then after that, they came out with The Witcher. Like, I played Witcher 1, I loved it. But it was, back then, like, it was just a normal RPG for a computer. It didn't really offer too much other than, like, a great story.
Right, okay.
To me, it was just another game, right, that I was playing. Then Witcher 2 came out, and it brought in, like, another great story that, like, branched into what happened in the first game and kept me playing. And then you have, like, the third game that's, like, freaking game of the year times 10. And they've taken 1, 2, and put all aspects that made those games good into 3.
Well, yeah, the game won like 250 Game of the Year awards in 2015 alone, so.
Yeah, and then like the expansions, like I've only started a little bit, because you can start playing like the first expansion when you hit like 30. So Hearts of Stone, like, it adds like another shit ton of content and actually good story, where Hearts of Stone doesn't take you really anywhere new, but Blood and Wine gives you a whole new region to explore.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah,
so
cool.
So some games can do it.
Yeah, it's difficult to do those. It's difficult not to fall into that standardized Hollywood storytelling bullshit.
But then if we're talking like Assassin's Creed, do you remember back in maybe Assassin's Creed 2 era? You played 2, right?
I played 2, yeah.
Okay, so remember their expansions? They took place before you finished the game.
Yeah.
So I remember they added for number 2, you had to go back to whatever that lady's fort was and defend her during the war.
Right. I can't say that I played that.
Or something.
Yeah, I can't say.
Well, I did play it, but I felt like it was just a bad expansion because, sure, it made me have to go back and play the game. But if you actually want that expansion to mean anything, it took place in a different, like an earlier frame than you beating the game. So it's not like you could just go back and be like, oh, new expansion, I'm going to play this, right? Like, I like when the game pulls everything together.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And just the way you described that, I was actually going to bring that up. It's like, so now let's just put the main story on the fucking back burner while we go save this lady's fucking skin.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, no. That's not how you tell a fucking story.
No, so if you're going to make, like, an expansion and it's taking place after the game, make sure people know that.
Yeah.
So, okay, we've already finished this for the main story. This is what we're moving on to.
Yeah. And, you know, that's a big thing in video games nowadays is, you know, story. Like, you know, it's another medium of entertainment. And you know, we want to have a story to follow or a character to give a shit about. It's just the same thing with a book or a movie, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, for me, if it's an RPG, the story has to appeal to me.
Yeah.
It's one of the biggest things. An RPG is, it's literally called role-playing.
Yeah. What role are you playing? Yeah.
Yeah, you can't just be thrown into a freaking universe and a half-assed story to go with it.
That's kind of how I felt with Black Desert.
Yeah, I actually felt the same way because, like, once we started the game, it looked amazing, right? Like, it played good, too. But I don't like when it didn't have a story and it was just telling me to go from here to here, kill some goblins, kill some wolves.
Yeah, I just felt like a sheep.
Like, it gets really boring.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, Black Desert was missing a story. Mind you, that was the beta.
Yeah, I still felt this kind of the same way with Blessed Unleashed. But reading their newest information, they've got the open beta in November.
Okay.
So it's supposed to be the actual beta. Like, we played the alpha beta. This is like the full on, like, this is going to show you what the game entails. So yeah. We'll have to try to get into that, and maybe we'll talk about that game again in the future.
What would you call an alpha and a beta, like a Balfa?
I guess, yeah, Balfa. I like that new word. Yeah, it's a Balfa
Balfa version.
But that's basically what it felt like, right? Like, it showed you things that were going to be accessible in the main game, but wouldn't let you touch them. Like, it showed you mounts, but you weren't allowed to have him.
Right.
The level cap was, what, 15, I think?
Yeah. Well, no, it was 20, I think.
I thought it was 15, but yeah. And it didn't, like, you knew the story because the tutorial followed the story, but then right after that, you're just thrown into the world and it doesn't really take you anywhere.
True. Anyways, we should get back to The Witcher 4.
All right.
And actually, just before we get started, stay tuned to our YouTube page this week. We're going to have a new video coming out called Where the Fuck is Pikmin 4 Nintendo? Get your shit together. Okay, it won't be titled that, but that'll be silent. All right.
Yeah.
So, Witcher number 4. What else we got here? So here's what the devs are saying. So while developer Project Red hasn't confirmed that there will ever be a Witcher 4, it certainly hasn't been ruled out completely. The team was particularly vocal around the launch of the Blood and Wine expansion in the first half of 2016. In an interview with Eurogamer in May 2016, CD Projekt Red co-founder Marcin Iwinski said that the team didn't have anything planned when it came to the next Witcher game. As we said before, he never said never, but right now it's really Blood and Wine. This is the end. Blood and Wine is closing, and there won't be any more Witcher anytime soon, if there ever will be one. So this guy's just a lying piece of garbage.
Well, this is they're taking information from older interviews, because if you look back in December 15, now we're fast forward to March 2017, right? So this interview kind of bounces all around. So I get, for some people listening, it might be a little confusing, but bear with us.
Yes, and Rodney's also a little intoxicated, so bear with me. I might say names better a little intoxicated than I do when I'm sober. And this is why my computer is not working properly. It's because it knows I'm intoxicated. And it's like, we don't work for you, peasant.
Well, let's hope we're actually recording. Ooh.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, we're okay. We're okay.
So back in December 2015, CD Projekt Red CEO Adam Kasinski Kaczynski seemed more definite that this is a series that the developer would be reluctant to leave behind. Well, it makes sense. It's made them so much money. Again, they've reiterated, it's too early to talk about it, but it's not like we're forgetting about this brand. It wouldn't be fair towards the fans. Definitely. But we all knew, like, back then, no one knew that their next game would be Cyberpunk.
I don't even think they knew their next game was Cyberpunk.
Oh, they were probably already working on it.
Yeah. Well, 2016. What is it now? 2019? So, yeah, I mean, it would have been an early concepts, for sure. Yeah.
Now, basically, everyone already knows this, but The Witcher was designed as a trilogy, and a trilogy cannot have a fourth part, can it? Now, that is very true. They gave Geralt his ending in Witcher 3, but this doesn't mean that they can't use a new character.
Ugh, that's some dangerous waters, though.
It is. Or they could just start another trilogy.
Yeah, that's not going so well for some franchises.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Halo.
We'll see what Halo Infinite brings us to.
Totally. Yeah. Okay, so continue on, Mr. Will. You seem to be doing a much better job than I.
So, as the team is currently working on Cyberpunk 2077, which is due sometime after 2017, but CD Projekt Red is also working on another game that is scheduled for release between 2021. Ugh, now I'm tired. Now, basically, we know Cyberpunk's going to come out. They're a bigger studio now, but I bet you their next game will probably be like 2022.
We got to do something about these, the way we say the year, because it's fucking dumb. Like, 1995 just fucking rolls off the tongue.
2021, I'm going to have so much trouble once we hit 2020s.
2035, 2050, 2091. It doesn't fucking work. 1995.
At least I'll be long dead before 2091.
Oh, dude, if I make it to 2091, I'll be 99 years old. Holy shit. And then I'll get on my fucking hovercraft to support my spine because it'll be shattered and I won't be able to walk anymore.
Yeah.
And I'll play video games with my two thumbs that are the only things that work still. Everything else doesn't work. Anyways, yeah.
But yeah, it definitely sounds like from all the interviews and a lot of their stuff they've said, it does sound like they've got a Witcher 4 in development.
Yeah, 100%. Warning, major spoilers for Witcher 3 lie ahead.
We can skip all that, I think, and move on to the next game.
Let's move on to the next game, which looks quite interesting. Goodbye, Witcher 4. Hello, Towers, which is a newer game about
from
a big...
Dreamlit Pictures. Or Dreamlit Games, sorry.
Yeah, so it's a big world with big animals. So this game, I was watching... We'll put our trailers on the website here, or on our YouTube page, sorry. We'll just basically compile all three. Actually, well, there's no trailer for Witcher 4. It's just gameplay.
No, but it just had gameplay. So we'll put the trailers up for Towers and the other
games we'll talk about.
A couple of the games that they have fully announced.
Yeah. Anyway, so when you watch the Tower gameplay video, the first thing you're going to think of is Breath of the Wild, because it looks exactly like the cel-shaded graphical world of Breath of the Wild. Christ, the guy even pulls out a fucking wind sail thing.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck? And then...
But it does have a lot more clear textures than Breath of the Wild. Like, this definitely looks HD.
Yeah. So what I was saying to Will before the show started was that this looks like Zelda Breath of the Wild minus the saving the Zelda part and the Calamity. So it's like a Breath of the Wild simulator where you can run around and you can... It's a survival game, so... Run around, you can, you know, find seeds and plant a garden and interact with the animals, and it's a fully
hunt
online
monsters.
Game. Yeah, I think it's a fully online game, is that right?
I think so. They haven't really shown off too much, but it definitely looks like there's more than one player there.
Yeah, so it's 100% in-game and being controlled by human players in this trailer that is playing for me right now. So the people are being controlled, but the monsters are all AI. But it's still very early days for this project. It doesn't really even seem to have a publisher yet. But yeah, there should be more coming about this in a year or so. But
for an indie game, though, it looks great.
Yeah, it looks super polished, which is
Like, right there, it looks like he's riding a horsey with legs.
A horsey with legs. All right. So yeah, the animals vary from very small to very gigantic, and in the trailer here, they have him, I almost said boarding, like he's a fucking object, mounting a gigantic dinosaur-looking motherfucker, and he's planting a garden, or planting something on his back, so then you come back a couple days later, and then whatever you've planted is now fully blooming and can be picked.
Yeah.
So...
definitely has like a Harvest Moon kind of feel to it as well, especially with them starting like the village. Like you can see him building the buildings, like this is building his whole. Wow, he really built. Wow.
Yeah, big hole. Yeah, so this game's really cool. I'm actually really interested in maybe checking this one out. So hopefully, when an alpha is available, we can play it and stream it and put videos on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued about this game, especially with it being for PC. I'm more of a console player. I don't touch my PC as often as I should. And I know a lot of people say PC Master Race, but I feel like whatever you play a game on is whatever you feel like.
Yeah, and... oh yeah, I forgot you have another PC. You don't just have my piece of shit laptop that you're recording on right now.
Yeah, just my PC doesn't have like all the stuff to plug in your mic and all that, so...
Right. Yeah, fuck. My old PC is just a hot piece of shit.
If you look at the end of the trailer, it looks like there's a massive battle, too.
Yeah, and actually...
it's like a boss fight or something.
And there's a big village here in the video as well, so you can build big villages with other online players, like... what's that freaking game that's at PAX every year, but it just has never been released? Eco.
I can't remember. I think it's Eco.
Yeah, Eco.
So we played it again this year. Or last year, sorry.
Yeah, we played it like 3 years in a row.
And last year it actually looked a lot more polished. And we asked the developers, when's this game coming out? And he just shook his head.
I don't know when we get funding. but the game was really fun. And I think you got frustrated at me one day. You're like, why do you want to play this game? We already played this game.
Yeah, it doesn't really change.
Like, it's fun. I like it.
It's got a Minecraft feel to it, for sure.
Yeah. And I just wanted to build a little log cabin. And then he's like, hey, your time's up. It's like, fuck off. I'm almost done with my log cabin.
I remember. I was still, like, chopping trees down and digging dirt to make, like, brick.
Yeah. But this is definitely not a Minecraft feel. This is, yeah, it looks great.
So. Yeah, I'm going to stay up to date with this game. I really want to see what the developers pull out.
Yeah. All right, I'm done talking about that game.
All right, so this next game, I'm not too familiar with the franchise, and that is going to be Payday 3.
Yes, Payday 3 announced after the Starbreeze... that's just the title from Nerd Much. Wow. Well,
Starbreeze is a publisher.
I said Nerd Munch, but it's Nerd Much.
Wow. Okay.
So, all right.
I'm reading off of a GameStop article here, and it says, it is with great satisfaction that we can now announce that Payday 3 production is officially initiated and that at full design stage. CEO Bo Anderson Clint. Why has he got two S's in and whatever? Man, people got weird names. CEO Bo Anderson Clint said as part of Starbreeze's latest financial report.
Interesting. So, off topic, I'm naming my fucking Impidimp Nerd Munch.
Oh, no.
Goddamn fucking Impidimp. You haven't... shockingly, you didn't send me a picture of Impidimp all fucking week, so that's nice.
I was debating it, but today's like the first day of the week, so...
next time Cole's on the podcast, we have to make him look up Impidimp, because it's fucking atrocious.
Yeah.
If you guys have not listened to the last podcast, listen to the last podcast. I fucking literally die on the air.
Yeah.
Looking at Impidimp. Fuck. All right, anyways. Payday 3. So... I think you said that already. In this announcement, Overkill revealed that all microtransactions would be removed from Payday 2. These were received critically by fans, as the company had previously mentioned, and they would never add such payments to their games. Sadly, 505 Games didn't make such a promise, and they were implemented anyway. So, do you think Payday 3 is going to have some microtransactions?
I don't know. I feel like every game's still trying to do it. They just have to do it the right way.
Yeah.
Like, I have no problem paying for microtransactions. I just don't want to see loot boxes. I want to know what I'm buying.
Yeah, for sure. Actually, speaking of loot boxes, I think they're still in Shadow of War.
Yeah, because they wouldn't have taken them out of the game.
Yeah.
It's too much. They'd have to go right through the code.
Yeah. But you can get a lot of loot boxes from just playing the game without actually buying them.
Oh, yeah.
So, maybe they just took out the actual payment of loot boxes part and just kept the loot boxes in. So, anyways, additionally, the game will receive an overhaul to its skill tree for the upcoming patch. Previously, previous company 505 Games will still retain 33% of the revenue from Payday 3, but it's good to have the franchise back in the owner's hands. Cool. So, So that's Payday number 3.
So for what I know about the Payday franchise, the game consists of like variety of heists that a player can opt to either carry out by themselves with an AI or as a team for co-op. The heists range from bank robberies, drug trafficking runs, rigging an election, or stealing smuggled nuclear warheads.
Who in the right fucking mind would choose the election? Like, I'm gonna fuck up this country by rigging the election.
I don't actually know.
Like, fuck off, rob a bank.
Yeah, there is 7 difficulty levels for the game. Normal, hard, very hard, overkill, mayhem, death wish, and death sentence.
All right, death sentence, here we come.
It doesn't even have easy. It goes straight from normal to hard, very hard, overkill, mayhem, death wish, death sentence.
What if this would be a funny little troll thing where if the developer put in, like, when you select your difficulty at the beginning of the game, and you go to, like, you know, I always go to, like, hard.
I try to do it on hard most games.
Yeah, that's my kind of default setting is hard. But you choose hard, and it's like, oh, to defeat hard, or to choose hard, you have to first beat the game on very hard. And then you go to very hard, and it's like, to beat this, you have to beat it on the hardest difficulty first. And it's like, oh, that'd be funny.
Force you to just die over and over again.
To play on hard, you must die 20 times within 20 minutes. Alright, copy that.
I just get, there's, like, the difficulties, right? But, like, why is there 7 and it starts at normal? It should be, like, very easy, easy, normal, hard, then, like, just call it death sentence. But no, they have normal, hard, very hard.
Yeah, I think
overkill, mayhem, death wish, and death sentence.
Yeah, I think, like, this should just stick with the 4 difficulties. Like, 5 is fine, too, I suppose.
Yeah, you unlock, like, the 5th one after you beat it already on, like, the very hard
when
or
you
something.
Know, when you know what the freaking game's about, totally, yeah.
Yeah. But, Christ, can you imagine just jumping right in? It's like, oh, so I can't pick easy. I'm just going to have to go straight to hard.
Yeah, I mean, this, I didn't like, I'm trying to think of a game. Okay, so, Pokemon Puzzle League, prime example. If you look at the AI, like, how the AIs move when you're playing Pokemon Puzzle League on, like, hard, it's like, okay, it's like a human, but it's still sluggishy, it still looks like an AI. And then you go to very hard, and then they're a little bit quicker, and you're like, alright, it's kind of, like, impossible for you as a human to keep up with this AI, but you can still beat it. And then super hard is just nonsense. You're like, what the fuck? Like, they move their cursor so fast you can't even see it.
And you're like, and then all of a sudden they've got, like, connected, like, 3 rows, and you're like, what?
Yeah, and they just get, like, fucking 20 times chain combos, and you're like, can you get fucked? Like, there's no way a human being can move that fast, and just because you're a fucking computer, you're trying to show off, you fucker.
Yeah, that's AI.
Yeah, and then when you beat them on super hard, you're like, suck this dick! Yeah.
So bad.
Yeah, oh, you just get...
You know, actually reading about Payday 2, though, has me kind of interested.
Yeah, Payday has always kind of interested me, but I've never actually picked it up. I actually held it in my hand at the store, but I bought Doom instead.
I think I did, too.
Yeah.
I remember, like, I wanted a game like this, and then it was... What was it? No. What's the other game that same as Call of Duty that you've had? Battlefront.
Oh, Battlefield.
Battlefield. The one where you play as a cop.
Oh, Battlefield Hardline.
Hardline. That I was hoping would be something similar to this with the heists and stuff.
Well, what I liked about I played through Battlefield Hardline the one time, the actual campaign all the way through. It was really
I liked the campaign.
Yeah, it was really cool to have the cops and robbers type feel, but I couldn't play through it a second time. I started a new game and I got a mission or two in and I'm like, meh.
Yeah, it's got a one time feel to it.
Yeah.
But the multiplayer just didn't work.
Oh, the multiplayer was fucking broken, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, it was shit. I played about probably 2 days of the multiplayer, and I was like, this is fucking garbage. So, yeah, I quit. And then Battlefield 1 came out and blew my goddamn little mind.
Blah! And then
Battlefield 5 fucking just delinquished my mind back to its former child state.
Let's see what Call of Duty Modern Warfare does.
If they go back to their roots like they say they have, I think it'll be fine. I do enjoy the Call of Duty multiplayer to an extent, but it just, the level designs are getting freaking lazy, and it's just, you find a fucking kid that all he does is sit at home and play this game. He has about a fucking grade 3 education, and he's fucking 12 years old, because all he does is sit at home and play Call of Duty, and you're just like, can you fuck off, kid?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, he's good, but he's not good enough to make any money off of it. It's like, that's worse than being shit at the game. You're just good enough. You're good enough to just destroy everybody except the pros.
So bad.
Fucking
I know Mark's like, oh, I'm going to pick up Call of Duty. And he's like, I'm also going to hopefully get good at the multiplayer. I'm like, have fun getting owned.
Yeah, no shit. Oh man, I want to record that and I want to put it on our YouTube page because Mark, just watching Mark get frustrated is fucking hilarious.
Oh yeah.
Especially when he has a headset on. Because he sounds all muffled and.
Yeah, I'm hoping, I'm going to try to keep talking him into getting him on and see. I know it was his idea too. It makes no sense. He wants to come on, talk about Detroit Become Human and Man of Medan.
Oh dude, this
and sure enough, he just bails.
Well, this isn't new news, dude. He suggested we start doing live streams a year ago. He's like, oh, bro, there's nothing like this on Twitch, bro. And I'm like, all right, cool. So we buy all the shit, get it all set up. It's fucking complicated, made my head want to blow off my own body. But yeah, we started doing live streams, and then he started bitching about coming to my fucking house to do the live streams. It's like, dude, yeah. This is your fucking idea, Mark.
So,
hope you're listening to this podcast, and your little fucking bros of head blows off. Anyways. Back to our games. So that's right. Payday 3. Let's move on here to the next game, which is called Witchfire, which is interesting as shit.
Yeah, this game, apparently, I don't remember it, but it might have been one of those things I just forgot. But this game was actually announced at the Game Awards in 2017.
It was totally overshadowed by Zelda Breath of the Wild, let's be fucking honest. Or not Breath of the Wild, that was the year before.
It might have still been Breath of the Wild.
No, Breath of the Wild came out in 2017.
Oh, yeah, it did. Yeah, I don't know. Something must have, because from watching this, it's pretty, looks interesting.
Yeah, so it's an FPS game from a developer that first did something else. Hang on, I had it here.
The Vanishing of Ethan Carter.
Yeah, which is a narrative game.
So for now PC and PS4.
Now they're moving on to shooters here. But basically, you're playing as a guy in the medieval time. Okay, so this is the funny part, okay? So you're in the medieval times. Witches exist, and you're working for the church to kill these witches. But
and you have a fucking shotgun.
You have a fucking shotgun and other shit that didn't exist in the medieval times. So we'll sidebar that some other time. The gameplay looks fucking cool, though. It's it's like this guy stuck his hand in a time travel void and pulled out a couple weapons, so let's just pretend that that's normal. I mean, this fucking witch skeleton thing with a flaming, sword thing, it looks completely normal anyway, so. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm also happy, like, the three main owners of The Astronauts, which are is the company that's making this game, were also the co-owners of People Can Fly, and they were also the creative leads behind shooters Painkiller and Bulletstorm.
Yeah.
I really like Bulletstorm.
I've never played it, so I can't really comment myself, but, yeah, so we've been waiting almost 2 years for this one since the announcement of it in 2017. We've had a little updates here and there, but confirming it's still in development, and it's definitely coming somewhere in 2020, I guess. Witchfire is the dark fantasy shooter. Witchfire is the dark fantasy shooter. I lost my fucking place here. Gotta take another drink, Will.
That's not good.
It's a dark fantasy.
Sound like Mark.
Oh my god. Remember how drunk Mark was at the Super Smash Brothers? Oh my god. Too drunk. Anyways, so it's a dark fantasy shooter from the creators of Vanishing of Ethan Carter and the brutal FPS Bulletstorm. It is an alternate history shooter in which witches, as they were envisioned to be in medieval times, are real, and you are responsible for dealing with them as the punishing hand of the church. So it's kind of like what I said earlier. But yeah, the game looks interesting. Like, most of the scenes in this trailer are dark and have heavy atmosphere fog and have a very monotone color.
Definitely looks like a really dark game, though.
Yeah, 100%. Well,
there is a lot of color to it, but not much light.
Well, it's monochrome. Yeah, monochrome is the word I want. So the only thing that has, like, vibrant colors are, like, the eyes and the elements of the monsters in the game, but just by looking at this trailer.
And, like, the trees and, the plants and stuff like that, because I'm, like, watching the trailer right now again, and you can see the grass, and then periodically you'll see a couple flowers in the grass.
Yeah. This
game. And they're meant to pop out. Like, you can see, like, that's a really vibrant red.
This game gives me a Borderlands feel, but it definitely doesn't. It won't be playing like Borderlands at all. But just the overall style of.
To me, it looks more like Bloodborne or Dark Souls.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's a good point. All right, so yeah, that's Witchfire. So totally interesting game that we can check out later in 2020.
Yeah, brought to you by The Astronauts.
The Astronauts of the game world. All right, so let's move on here to the final fifth game that you didn't know was in development, which is an interesting twist on modern day gaming. What's it called again?
Darkborn.
Darkborn. So it's a game where instead of playing as a human killing a bunch of monsters, you're the monster that the humans are trying to kill. So it's a different look on a different perspective on the way things are. So, in the game here, it's a POV of you as this monster, and you start as a little monsterling, so a tiny little baby version, and by the looks of things, your family gets killed, you watch your little brother get, like, gutted, it's, like, pretty fucking brutal, and then it does a cutscene, and, you're a bigger monster now, and you go and attack humans, and he gushed this guy's eyes out, which I kind of cringed at, you heard me.
Yeah, but that looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Those thumbs were like right into the eye sockets.
Yeah. And then, yeah, you can bite the necks of dudes. And so, yeah, it's going to be an interesting game because I'm curious to see how they tell the story of this.
Yeah, you can definitely tell, though, because of like how the trailer's pointed and what we've said is it's a classic revenge story.
Revenge of the monster thing. It was like, bite out your larynx.
But it's also supposed to play out as an RPG. So your the monster you play as is going to grow as you play the game. You'll unlock new abilities and skill points.
What if they just make a mega game with like all your RPG characters? Oh wait, it's called Soul Calibur. No, I'm just kidding. But imagine that. It's like a Smash Bros. For RPG characters. And then it like reads your save data. And then it imports all your fucking RPG characters at whatever level they're at.
Yeah.
Fucking sweet. Hey, look. Another game that Rodney came up with on the podcast that he's now trademarking. So if you make the game, I fucking own it. So. All right, so yes. that's five games that you didn't know were in development, but they are. So one last game here to tie into the last game we were just talking about. It's called Ancestors.
Yeah, so this game was actually just released on PC not that long ago, August 27th. It'll be coming out on consoles, I think, December. But yeah, set to be on consoles December 2019. So they don't actually have a day. He just has it set as December 2019. This is the first game from, what is his name again? I'm going to butcher it. I know it. But Patrice Desolettes. Patrice is actually well known for being the creative director on the Assassin's Creed franchise, being the main guy behind Assassin's Creed 1, 2, and Brotherhood.
Okay.
Yeah, his story is kind of an awkward one, mainly because after, what was it, Brotherhood, which was 2010, I think. God, I feel old. He left Ubisoft and joined THQ Montreal. And I don't know if it was because he left Ubisoft in a bad way or something, but right after that, Ubisoft purchased THQ Montreal, canceled the game he was working on, and fired him.
Well, that's an interesting turn of events.
Yeah, so it says right here, when THQ declared bankruptcy under Chapter 11 in December 2012 and again in January 2013, THQ Montreal was sold off to Ubisoft in an auction. Celeste was subsequently let go by Ubisoft on May 7, 2017, 2013, when the two parties could not agree to contract terms.
Well, so, shit.
Yeah, he was working on a game called 1666 Amsterdam.
Yep.
I actually watched the trailer for this game last night. He's hoping to actually make it again at his new studio, Panche. Mm-hmm. And you play as it definitely has the Assassin's Creed feel to it, but you play as the devil.
Whoa.
In Amsterdam, in not medieval times, but very close to it.
So like the pre-evil times or the post-evil times?
Yeah.
Alright.
But it looks great. But his new game that it just came out is called Ancestors: The Humankind Odyssey.
Well,
Ancestors is a survival game played from a third-person perspective. In the game, players control a member of the primate clan and have to manage the player's character's health by eating, drinking, and sleeping. The game will start off in the African jungle, an open world filled with threats, including, let's just say a whole bunch of different dinosaurs, hyenas, pythons, otters, and even buffalo. Players can climb any of the trees in the jungle, though the player character will break his bones if it falls down. As the players progress, new areas are opened up for the players to explore. When a primate is exploring new locations or being hunted by predators, it will enter a state of fear, which you can overcome by finding glowing orbs of light, or else it will descend into a state of hysteria. While the world is dangerous, the apes can use their heightened senses to listen to various sounds, such as that of a close predator, a lost clan member, or an outsider which can be recruited into the player's clan. The primate can also use its intelligence to pinpoint the locations of different items of interest and make new discoveries, such as identifying new food or tools. As the players continue to make new discoveries, the primate becomes more intelligent and capable. And the new skills, such as leaves to make bedding and medicinal plants to heal themselves, are unlocked. If the player character dies, players will shift to controlling a new clan member. If all the clan members die, the lineage becomes extinct and the players need to restart the game.
Fuck, that's fucking harsh.
Yeah, so it's definitely a survival game. I was watching a couple of the streamers play this, and it looks really good. I saw him kill a rhino, or no, it was a hippo. It was a hippopotamus. Yeah, he killed a hippopotamus.
Which is not easy.
No. And he did it with like a stick, so. Turned it into a spear.
Oh my god, I just saw the picture of a Dimba Dimp. Fuck.
Oh no.
Impidim.
But yeah, like, this game is really cool.
Yeah.
But I also feel like it could be very challenging in that if you don't eat, drink, or sleep, your guy could die anyways. If you fall off a tree you're climbing, your player will break its bones. So it doesn't sound like that's insta death, but I bet you'd just be crawling on the ground. Very easy prey for a predator.
Yeah, and but I mean, it's a survival game, so I suppose like you don't have any powers or anything, but it's like I feel like that game would get boring.
I don't know. Like from what I've seen, it's very interesting because it adds like a new feel to the survival genre.
Yeah,
I guess you could say.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. It's, I don't know. I would definitely need to see some more gameplay on this game before I...
Yeah. See, it says the goal of the player is to ensure the primate clan's survival. As it slowly evolves and becomes a new species, the clan will grow. Players can switch to play as other characters in the clan, or as an infant, an adult, or an elder, or a mother carrying her child. As the clan slowly expands, the player character can perform social tasks like calling members of the clan to hunt together. When an ape is sleeping, players can unlock new abilities by developing the primate's nervous system, which functions as a skill tree. These skills, such as the ability to use both hands, stand upright, facilitate evolution. So to learn to stand on 2 feet is this actual skill.
To use both hands is not fucking instinctual?
I don't know. That might be like crafting or something, though.
That's dumb, dude. That's fucking dumb.
This one's cool, too. As primates undergo procreation, unlocked skills are passed on to future generations.
Interesting, but still. How do you become a wild fucking animal with an opposable thumb and you don't know how to use 2 fucking hands? Like, come on.
I don't know. It sounds like, from what I've seen, I haven't seen too much of the game, but it says the game is roughly between 40 to 50 hours long, and it will document the clan's evolution across 8 million years.
Christ, you gotta play for 8 million
years. So you probably do become a human, or like at least a caveman. Ooga, ooga.
Fucking Neanderthal that doesn't even know how to use 2 hands. Alright, well, I think that's enough of that. We should probably end the show here. And
yep.
Thanks for listening all the way through. That was a wildly all over the place podcast. So if you're made it all the way to the end, you're a true VGN fan, and you should show your appreciation by going to our Facebook page and saying you guys are awesome. I'm going to look for that post. It'll say you guys are awesome, and then it'll have roughly 300 likes. We don't even have that many people on our Facebook page. So goddamn it, go to our Facebook page and let us know what you think of the show. And definitely check out our YouTube page. We'll have that Pikmin video up for you on Friday. The 12th or 13th? The same day that... 13th. Yeah, same day that all the games come out. So don't play the games. Go watch our video first. Right?
Unless you're me.
Well, you don't watch... You hardly watch any of the fucking videos anyway.
No, I watch the videos, but I play the game. I play games first.
Yeah, it's fair. This is the video games podcast. So, all right, guys, thanks a lot, and we'll see you all on the next one. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.